百坤塔之音服务员于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2019年10月23日，星期三。我们在此邀请到了 Radha Charan Prabhu，为我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》（Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita）。Hare Krishna。
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय
Jai
Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 19. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami.
Today we continue to read the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sri Rupa Goswami.
We are broadcasting this morning from the island of Hainan.
我们今天是在海南岛给大家播音。
And we are back after 2 weeks of interruption.
那么经过了两个星期的间隔之后，我们再一次回到了这里。
We apologize to all the devotees for the inconvenience.
我们对给所有的奉献者所带来的不便而表示抱歉。
We realize that if we don't hear about Krishna on a regular basis, then life becomes very dull.
那我们就发现呢，如果是我们不能够经常的去聆听有关 Krishna 的话题的话，生命就变得非常的暗淡无光了。
So hearing about Krishna and Krishna's devotee is like taking a long shower.
所以说呢，去聆听有关 Krishna 和 Krishna 的奉献者的话题，就好像是一个长久的沐浴一样。
It's like, experiencing life in pure goodness.
就是去体验一种纯粹的善良形态中的生活。
So we will continue, we will resume from where we left off last time.
那现在呢，就让我们再回到上一次我们停止的地方。
Which was the meeting between Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami.
上一次我们讲到了 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sri Rupa Goswami 的会面。
And how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented the science of Krishna consciousness.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是如何向 Sri Rupa Goswami 去呈现 Krishna 知觉的科学的？那我们在这之前也已经谈到了。
Sri Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness as a science.
Srila Prabhupada 把 Krishna 知觉作为一门科学来向大家呈现。
He didn't present it as a religion.
他并没有把它当作一门宗教来呈现。
Because a science means that you have to experiment in order to get results.
那科学的定义呢，就是意味着你要通过实验来得到相应的结论。
There is observation.
也就是说，你首先需要观察。
There is experiment,
还需要做试验。
And then there is results.
然后呢，最后呢，才有结论。
So the process of Bhakti Yoga is there for all the conditioned souls to experience Krishna consciousness.
所以说呢，整个 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的这个程序，就是帮助所有的受条件限制的灵魂去真切的体验 Krishna 知觉。
And there is a very specific system.
而且呢，在这里还有一个非常特定的体系。
So that the conditioned souls can gradually go from the lowest level to the highest level.
通过这样的一个体系呢，受条件限制的灵魂就可以从最基础的、最低级的这个层级开始， 逐级而上，一直达到巅峰。
And this is one of the main, if not the most important feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spreading of Krishna consciousness.
那这或许也就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 去传播 Krishna 知觉的一个最重要的方面。
And there is absolutely no discrimination about who is a suitable candidate and who is not.
因为他不加任何的分别，他并不去分别哪一个人是真正的适合的一个候选者，而另外一个人并没有任何的资格。
By presenting Krishna consciousness to the world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu breaks down all material boundaries.
那主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 把 Krishna 知觉不加分别的传播到了世界的每一个角落。那么通过这样的一种方式，它其实就是打破了无数的世俗的屏障。
And there are two aspects to this presentation of Krishna consciousness.
那 Krishna 知觉的这种呈现呢，它可以包含两个方面。
One is the aspect of mercy.
第一个就是仁慈。
So mercy means it's just like rain. When rain falls, water will go everywhere.
那仁慈就好比是从天而降的雨水，当天降大雨的时候，这个雨水会流到每一个地方。
When the rain falls from the sky, the rain is not thinking, I will not fall on the rock, I will only fall on the water.
那当这个雨水从天而降的时候，它并不会首先去选择，我究竟是落在岩石上呢，我还是落在这个河流上。
So,In the same way, when mercy comes onto the conditioned souls, there is no discrimination. Everyone has access to such mercy.
所以说当仁慈降临在受条件限制的灵魂身上的时候，那么也就是也是没有任何的分别的，所有的灵魂都可以沉浸在这样的仁慈之中。
In other words, everyone will benefit and will make spiritual progress. Some will know and some will not know.
那换句话说呢，就是所有的灵魂，它都可以受益于这样的仁慈的浸润。就是只不过是有的人他是有知觉的，而有些人是不知不觉的。
Those who don't know, their benefit is called Agata Sukriti, unknown spiritual progress.
那么对于那些不知不觉而得到仁慈的，就被称为是 Agyata Sukriti。意思呢，就是说他们在不知不觉当中，他们就得到了这样的仁慈。Meaning,
in other words, you give people prasadam.
那举例来说呢，就是他们是不知不觉就受益了。比如说你给一个人 prasadam.
You give people a book.
比如说给一个人一本书。
You give people the chanting.
把这个念诵或者是唱诵带给别人。
People don't really know what's going on, but still they are positive about the interaction.
那些人他可能并不知道你所带给他的究竟是什么，是什么样的含义，但是呢，他还是对于你跟他之间的这样的一种交流的互动，就是表示着一种非常肯定的态度。
Prabhupada gave some amazing examples, actually.
那么关于这一点呢，是呢，爸爸给出了一些非常好的例子。
Things that we may never think of.
可能是那些我们从来都没有想过的。
One time he gave the example of the Ford car company.
有一次呢，他举了一个例子，他是以这个福特汽车公司为例。
He said, the devotees are buying vans.From the Ford company, and with those vans, they travel on Sankirtan distributing books.
那就是说呢，他有一次呢，他就是举例来说，他说奉献者呢向这个福特公司购买了汽车，然后呢，他们就开着这样的这些汽车面包车呢，就开到了各个地方去派书。
So the people who manufactures those vans,
那些
unknowingly they get benefit.
那些去生产这些面包车的那些人，他们虽然是并不知道最后的结果是怎样，但是他们也是在不知不觉当中就已经受益了。
Because they contribute indirectly to help the Sankirtan movement.
因为他们间接的对 Sankirtan 运动做出了贡献。
Another example which we find in certain countries, or yeah, in certain countries where people use the word Rama Rama or Hari, like for example in America, you have the Chicago airport. The Chicago airport is called Ho Hari.
还有一些地方在世界的一些其他的地方，人们他们呢就是。在不是很了解真正的含义的情况下，他们就用了像 Hari 啊，或者是 Rama 这样的词语。比如说，像这个芝加哥机场就被称为 Oh Hari 机场。
So the devotees at the Chicago airport, they used to distribute so many books that the management of the airport were really, really tired of seeing the devotees distributing books there.
所以说呢，在以前，在这个芝加哥机场就有很多奉献者一直在那里派大量的书籍，以致这个机场的这个工作人员都看到这个奉献者，他们就都感到这个疲惫了。
So one time Prabhupada arrived at the Chicago airport, and all the Sankirtan devotees were in the airport.Went to greet Srila Prabhupada and told him, Prabhupada, this airport is amazing. We are distributing so many books.
那有一次呢，希拉帕布法呢就着陆在这个芝加哥机场，然后奉献者就纷纷都去迎接希拉帕布法，告诉希拉帕布法说，我们在这个机场啊，这个 Oh Hari 机场派了大量的书籍。
So Prabhupada said, tell the manager of the airport to change the name from Oh Hari to Hari Krishna Airport.
然后呢，希拉帕帕就对奉献者说，可以跟这个机场的管理人员说，把这个机场的名字就干脆改成 Hari Krishna 机场算了。
Another example is when Prabhupada was in Switzerland, and there's a very, very bad article that came out in the magazine about the devotees.
还有一次呢，就是希拉帕帕就到了这个瑞士。当时呢，就是报纸上有这样一篇文章，对于奉献者有非常负面的报道。
So the devotees were very disappointed. They went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, look, there's so much negative comments about us.
那奉献者们就来到师了爸爸的跟前说，就是说我们呢感到非常的难过，因为在这些消息里面有这么多关于奉献者的负面信息。
And Prabhupada said, how many times did they mention Krishna in the article?
然后释迦帕帕就询问说呢，就是在这篇文章里面Krishna 的这个名字出现了多少次呢？
The devotee said, many times. They criticize all the time. Krishna this, Krishna that.
然后奉献者就说这篇文章通篇都是在批评 Krishna, 就是一直一会儿说 Krishna 这个不好，一会儿说 Krishna 那个不好。
Prabhupada said, this is a very excellent article.
那释迦帕帕呢就是说这篇文章棒极了。
They mentioned Krishna everywhere.
因为到处都提 Krishna 的名字。
So unknowingly people get benefit.
所以说就是在不知不觉当中人们也是会受益的。
Then you have the categories of people who are devotees who are very conscious of their interaction with the process of bhakti yoga.
那么剩下的这一群就是奉献者了。奉献者们他们是非常有意识的去体会和 Krishna 知觉之间的这样的一种关系。
But as we understand later on from the teachings of Rupa Goswami, the key to take full advantage of the interaction with the process of bhakti yoga is to accept the process favorably.
那么就是需要 Rupa Goswami 在之后就会讲到呢怎么样才能够与这个 Krishna 知觉，从 Krishna 知觉当中最大的这个受益，能够就非常正面的去感受到跟 Krishna 知觉之间的这样的一种关系呢？就是它的诀窍就是在于要以一种非常积极、肯定和顺意的那种态度去接受 Krishna 知觉。
We have to be favorable. We have to be positive about the process.
所以关于这个程序呢，我们要抱着非常积极接纳的一种态度。
So this is all part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's systematic plan for cultivating pure bhakti.
所以呢，这个主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是以这样的一种方式来非常有体系的去。
And he has to teach Rupa Goswami what to do when a devotee has begun the process of bhakti.
那他也教导了这个 Rupa Goswami， 告诉他说，当这个奉献者一旦开始了 Krishna 知觉的修习程序的时候，应当做些什么。
So it speaks about the seed of bhakti, which is planted when coming in touch with the bona fide spiritual master.
那么他就讲到了，当一个人和一位真正的灵性导师接触的时候，这个 bhakti 爬藤，奉爱爬藤的这个种子就播下了。
And this seed of bhakti is planted on the soil of what is known as shraddha of faith.
那么就是这个土壤播下了这个奉爱种子的这个土壤就被称为 Shraddha。Shraddha 的意思就是信念或者说是信心。
We all come to Krishna consciousness because in the heart there is some faith.
我们之所以能够进入 Krishna 知觉的这个程序是因为或多或少的我们在心中都有一份信心。
And,Before we come in contact with Krishna consciousness,
在我们接触到 Krishna 知觉之前
our body, our mind, our consciousness is taken care of by material nature.
我们的这个身心，我们的意识呢，都是受到了这种物质自然的掌控。
Krishna is not directly involved.
也就是说 Krishna 并没有直接的介入。
Krishna is within the heart and he is only witnessing and he is allowing the conditioned souls to do whatever they want.
那 Krishna 呢他是在所有的受条件限制的灵魂心中作为一个见证者一个目击者他其实就是在观察着然后呢他允许受条件限制的灵魂随心所欲的去做他想做的事情。
But from the moment that we begin to inquire about Krishna consciousness or pay some interest in Krishna consciousness,
但是呢，一旦我们开始对 Krishna 知觉表示了兴趣，或者呢，去开始探寻有关 Krishna 知觉的问题的时候，
then Krishna gets personally involved.
这个时候呢， Krishna 就亲自的介入了。
And the way Krishna gets involved is that he...directs that particular conditioned soul towards a bona fide guru.
那么他借着这个方式就是说他亲自的会把这样的一个受条件限制的灵魂引向一位真正的 guru.
Now we have to understand what guru means in that particular situation.
那么在这样的一种情况之下 guru 这两个字究竟意味着什么
Guru is a principle.
Guru 代表着一种原则。
It doesn't have to be a specific person.
Guru 不一定非得指的是某一个具体的人。
So it's mentioned that there are three types of gurus.
所以说呢，就是 guru 据说是分为三类。
One is a guru who is just an instrument.
第一类的这个 guru 呢，他就好像是一个工具或者说媒介。
Someone who just talks to you about Krishna consciousness and tells you you can go and meet the devotees if you want to.
比如说有一个人他就把 Krishna 知觉介绍了给你然后就告诉你说呢你可以去找奉献者可以跟他们接触。
Then you have the guru who will give initiation.
那接下来这一类 guru 呢他们是启迪 guru.
And then you have the guru who will give instruction and take you back to the spiritual world.That can be the same person as the Diksha Guru.
那么第三类的这个 Guru 呢，就是给你指导，给你训示，然后把你带回到灵性世界。当然，这第三类这个训示 Guru 可能就是Diksha Guru， 就是启迪 Guru.
But all of these Gurus are inspired directly by the Shiva Soul within the heart.
那所有的这些 Guru 们，他们都是直接的从内心的超灵那里得到的激励和灵感。
So, from the level of Shraddha of faith, the next level is Sadhu Sangha.
那么从这个土壤，这个 Shraddha 这个开始，就是说信心开始呢，接下来往上一步，那就是叫做 Sadhu, Sadhu Sangha.
Association with the devotees.
那么什么叫 Sadhu Sangha 呢？意味着就是和奉献者的联谊。
Now we have to understand that association of devotees means that all the devotees are also our gurus.
那什么叫做和奉献者联谊呢？这就意味着其实所有的奉献者都可以被称为是我们的 guru, 我们的灵性导师。
That's why Prabhupada explains that when we address a devotee, we call them Prabhu.
这就是为什么Srila Prabhupada他说当我们去称呼一位奉献者的时候我们会称他为 Prabhu。
Prabhu means master.
Prabhu 的意思是主人。
So we consider all the devotees our masters.
所以也就是说我们是把所有的奉献者都视同为我们的 guru, 我们的主人。
All the devotees have something to teach us.
也就是说每一个奉献者我们身边的奉献者都可以教会我们一些什么。
I mention this because we have to be very careful, to think that only my initiating guru can give me instructions.
但是有一点呢我们必须要重视的就是有一些人会认为只有我的启迪guru guru 可以给我宣示。
I only listen to my spiritual master.
我只听我的灵性导师的话。
No one is qualified like my spiritual master.
那就觉得是除了我的灵性导师谁也没有这样的资格。
We have to avoid this mentality.
那这样的一种心态我们一定要避免。
We have to understand we can get very, very good, helpful instruction from other devotees but the spiritual master.
我们要知道就是除了我们的灵性导师之外我们还可以从其他的奉献者那里得到非常好的帮助和训示。
As a matter of fact,the spiritual master will expect us to take shelter in the devotees.
那事实上呢我们的灵性导师也希望我们能够从其他的奉献者那里去寻求庇护。
When Srila Prabhupada was spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees were taking full shelter of the local devotees.
当这个 Srila Prabhupada 在世在传播 Krishna 知觉的那个时期其实当时所有的这些奉献者呢都是托庇于当地的奉献者的。
Everyone had access to Prabhupada's lectures, everybody had access to Prabhupada's books.
那所有的奉献者都有机会去接触 Srila Prabhupada 的讲课还有他的这个书籍。
But very few had access to Prabhupada directly.
但是呢在这么多奉献者当中只有极少数的人他能够直接的亲身的和 Srila Prabhupada 有所接触。
Devotees used to take complete shelter in senior devotees around them.
那个时候的这个奉献者都是托庇于当地的或者说他们身边的这些年长的奉献者。
So we have to learn to do this.
所以呢这一点也是值得我们学习的。
Not that I only wait for my Guru Maharaj to give me instruction and I am not interested to hear from anyone else. This is very wrong.
所以千万不要觉得我就等着我听我的灵性导师所给予我的信息。其他的人的话我都不想听。那这样的一种心态呢是极其错误的。
This is a very neophyte mentality.
这样的一种心态呢是初习者的心态。
We have to understand the Vaishnavas, the devotees, are direct representative of the spiritual master.
我们要知道 Vaishnava, 奉献者们其实就是我们的 guru, 灵性导师的代表。
And we should take shelter as much as we take shelter of our own spiritual master.
我们要托庇于他们就如同托庇于我们的灵性导师一样。
Otherwise, we will not make spiritual progress. This is guaranteed.
否则的话，我们在灵修之路上面一定是寸步难行的。
And not only that, but not just our spiritual master, but all the spiritual masters that are coming to this yatra are as good as our spiritual master.
那另外呢，还有一点就是说，其实不仅仅是我们的灵性导师，所有的来到我们这个 yatra 的这些其他的机器。灵性导师也是和我们的灵性导师一样的优秀的。
So in the context of this plant of bhakti that we need to nourish.
所以说呢，我们就讲到了我们的这个 bhakti 的这个植株，这个小苗，我们必须要得到这个滋养。
Lord Chaitanya says, to water this plant, it is done by shravanam and kirtanam.
那当主且他俩马哈帕布讲到了如何去滋养这个奉爱的小苗的时候呢，他就说到了要有这个 Shravana 和 Kirtan。
So hearing and chanting, this is how we water the plant.
那换句话说，就是要通过聆听和唱诵来浇灌这个奉爱的 pattern。
And hearing and chanting must be done in the association of devotees.
那么这个聆听和唱诵一定要是在和奉献者的联谊当中来进行的。
Because then we learn to appreciate Krishna together and we learn to serve together.
因为当你跟奉献者在一起的时候呢，你就学会了怎么样和奉献者在一起啊，去这个欣赏 Krishna， 然后又是怎么样可以去一起服务于 Krishna。
And especially because as the plant of bhakti grows, we are going to face different kinds of challenges which are being highlighted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那么还有就是说，随着我们这个奉爱的之树不断的去成长的话，在这个成长的过程当中呢，就会遇到一些障碍，这些障碍是主持他娘马哈帕布特意提出来重点的讲述的。
So on the one hand, we may be very enthusiastic.
那一方面我们可能在休息的过程当中非常的热情。
We may have very strict practice.
可能我们的这个休息也是极其严格的。
We may be determined.
然后呢我们的这个就决心非常的坚定。
But at the same time, simultaneously, we may still have material desires.
但是与此同时我们可能还有物质的欲望。
We may not be able to follow the four regulative principles.
有可能四个规范原则也不太容易完全的遵守。
And we still have attachment to the taste of enjoying material senses.
而且呢还这个依附于感官享乐的那种感觉。
So how do we balance these two things?
那么这两者之间我们怎么样才能够找到一个平衡呢？
The first thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions is we have to guard against offenses.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 首先提到的就是说我们必须要就是警惕冒犯。
Because what happens is when devotees become weak, when they struggle,to progress in spiritual life, the first defensive measure is to offend.
那么就是说我们的这个在我们 Krishna 拒绝成长的过程当中，当我们还比较弱的这个时候呢，所以说我们首先要树立的这个屏障来保护我们奉爱的这个苗的这个屏障，就是要就是抵御冒犯。
And to find fault in others.
还有就是我们要警惕的就是不要去挑剔别人的错误。
But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, before you want to point finger at somebody, look at all the faults in your own heart.
那是 Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, 他说呢，当你去挑别人的毛病的时候，首先要内省，看看自己到底有多少错误。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very...strong on this point. We have to be very careful about offenses.
所以呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这一点是极为强调的，他呢指出，明确的指出，我们必须呢就是要小心对别人的冒犯。
Because we may work so hard and so diligently and systematic in creating a beautiful garden in the heart, and then we just leave the door open and allowothers to come and trample all the flowers.
那也许呢我们是非常勤奋非常努力的，也非常这个遵循这个程序的，把这个我们的奉爱的爬藤在我们的内心深处想要去小心的呵护，小心的浇灌，但是我们却就是门户大开，把这个门打开，然后让其他的这些不好的进入到我们的这个花园当中，然后呢就是这个冒犯把我们的这个分爱的爬藤这些小苗啊全部都踩烂了。
So from the devotees, we learn how to serve.
所以说呢我们可以从别的奉献者身上学会如何去服务。
From the devotees, we learn how to hear.
那通过奉献者我们也学会了如何去聆听。
From the devotees, we learn how to clean the heart.
通过奉献者，我们也学会了如何去净化我们的心灵。
So, from the platform of Shraddha, we go to the platform of Sadhu Sangha, and from the platform of Sadhu Sangha, we go through the process of Bhajana Kriya.
所以我们就是从Shraddha, 达到了这个 Sadhu Sangha, 然后呢，从 Sadhu Sangha 这一步呢，我们就要上升到这个 Bhajana Kriya。
Bhajana Kriya means to actually be practically engaged in devotional service.
Bhajana Kriya 的意思就是说，具体的去投入到 Krishna 直觉的服务之中。
So when we follow the process of hearing and chanting, when we associate with devotees, and when we do service, all the impurities come out to the surface.
所以说呢，当我们去聆听唱诵。当我们去和别的奉献者去联谊，然后呢去做这个奉献服务的时候，这个时候我们本来的原本的那些不洁之处，那些污染就会浮出水面。
It's just like when you want to make ghee.
那个就好像是你要去熬那个酥油的时候。
You take butter.
首先你取的是这个黄油。
And you have to cook it in very low temperature for many hours.
然后你就要用低温去熬制它，然后要熬很长的时间，好几个小时。
So first the butter will melt.
首先呢是在这个热量下，这个黄油就融化了。
Then it will become liquid.
然后它就变成了液体。
But because of a low flame and constant heat, gradually you will see foam coming on the surface.
因为呢，就是说你用的是小火，然后是这个低温的在那里熬制的，所以说这个时候呢，它这个黄油当中的那些杂质慢慢的就浮到了表面了。
So you scoop out all this foam.
就是那些。泡沫出现在表面，这个时候你就把这个泡沫给撇去。
And it keeps coming up.
然后它这种杂质还以这种泡沫的形式就不断的浮到。
Sometimes you think that it's all gone, but actually there's more coming up.
有的时候呢，你以为已经都弄干净了，都去掉了，但是实际上就是不断的有冒出来的。
So these are all the impurities that are found inside the butter.
这个其实都是这个黄油内部的这个杂质。
So this is what we can call the process of removing unwanted desires from the heart.
那么这个程序就可以把它比喻成为是把从内心中把那些不想要的这种欲望给剔除。
This is known as anartha nivritti.
这个就被称为 anartha nivritti.
There are all the obstacles that slows down or stop the progress in Krishna consciousness.
那就是它指的就是说，去减慢我们 Krishna 知觉的进步，或者说呢，使我们的 Krishna 知觉停步不前的那些障碍。
Such as ignorance.
比如说呢，愚昧无知。
False ego.
假我。
Attachment.
然后是这种物质依附。
Hatred.
那个内心中的愤恨。
Being absorbed in mundane objects.
还有呢，就是说沉浸于那些世俗的事物之中。
Desire for liberation.
然后呢，祈求这个解脱。
Material accumulation.
还有物质上的累积。
Wanting to be worshipped.
希望得到别人对自己的崇拜。
Wanting respect.
希望别人呢非常尊重自己。
And of course, all the offenses to the holy name.
当然了，还有就是对于圣名的种种冒犯。
So we have a lot of work to do.
所以呢，其实呢，我们要走的路还很漫长。
But not everyone is on the same platform.
但是并不是所有的人都是在同一个层面上的。
Not everyone comes to Krishna consciousness with the same amount of material desires.
那个加入 Krishna 知觉中的人并不是 都同样的具有同样的这个物质欲望。
Sometimes you have devotees who come to Krishna consciousness who seem to be so materially detached, but actually they have very deep, subtle material desires.
那有些人看他进入 Krishna 知觉的时候，好像已经没有什么物质欲望了，非常的超然。但是实际上呢，他的那个物质欲望埋得非常深，非常的精微。
Or sometimes you have people who seem to be very materially attached, but actually their heart is quite clean.
那有一些人呢，你看起来好像他的这个物质依附非常的强烈，但是实际上他的内心是非常纯净的。
So also we have to be very careful not to judge devotees in everything they do and everything they say.
所以这个时候就要非常的小心，千万不要随便的去判断其他奉献者的所作所为，还有他们说的话。
We say MYOB, mind your own business.
那么我们有这样的一个俗语，就是说呢，就是管好你自己。
So this process of cleansing the heart, anatta nivritti, is possibly for every bhakti yoga candidate. This is probably the longest period of our devotional life.
所以就是这个阶段叫做 anatta nivritti， 有就是净化自己的内心。对于大多数的这个 Bhakti Yogi， 就是奉爱与瑜伽的修习者来说，可能都是最漫长的一个历程。
It may take an entire lifetime.
有可能你要用一辈子的时间去经历这个 Anatta Nivritti 的阶段。
It may take a few lifetimes.
甚至是几生几世。
Before we can get rid of all these impurities.
那要经过很长的时间，你可能才会把这个内心的这些污染不洁给清除掉。
But we have to understand how Krishna deals with the devotee.
但是我们要知道 Krishna 是如何去对待他的奉献者的。
Number one, Krishna never gives up on a devotee.
首先第一点就是 Krishna 永远不会放弃他的奉献者。
And even if the devotee has fault, even if the devotee has challenges, even if the devotee makes mistakes, to the eyes of Krishna, that devotee always remain saintly.
那就算是一个奉献者，他有错误，有挑战，然后呢，他也会做很多的这个错事。但是在这个Krishna 的这个眼里，这样的奉献者永不堕落。
This is a promise that Krishna makes to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 9.
这个是在博迦梵歌的第九章 ，Krishna 向 Arjuna 承诺的。
The other thing is, as long as we stay, no matter how difficult it is, as long as we stay in the association of devotees, we are always protected.
那么第二点我们要明确的就是说，只要我们和奉献者在一起，也就是说与奉献者不分离，我们其实就是在被保护的状态下。
Thirdly,Rupa Goswami mentions that we have to always remain enthusiastic.
那么第三点就是像 Rupa Goswami 所说的一样，我们要一直保持着热情。
We should never think that it's hopeless.
我们不要觉得就是绝望了，没有希望了。
So Rupa Goswami mentions two things. First, we have to be enthusiastic, and second, we have to be patient.
那所以 Rupa Goswami 呢，他就说到了两点。第一个就是说我们要满怀热情。第二个呢，就是说我们必须要有耐心，保持耐心。
And this is a very difficult thing to do, because when you are enthusiastic, you may want to be very impulsive, you may want to rush, but at the same time, you have to be patient.
那么这两点呢，要放在一起，要同时做到，就是不一样的，因为就不容易了，因为有的时候你非常的热情高涨的，那这个时候呢，你可能就容易冲动，希望很多事情呢一蹴而就，这个时候你可能就会缺乏一些耐心。
It is in the darkest moment, it is in the most hopeless moments that Krishna is mostly attentive.
其实呢，就是在你最绝望的时候，在你感到最黑暗的这个低谷的时候， Krishna 其实是最关注你的。
But we have to understand that there is no shortcut, and we can't go into the spiritual world through the back door.
但是我们必须要知道这个灵修之路是没有捷径可走的，这个进灵性世界是没有后门可走的。
We have to follow the process gradually and systematically.
所以这个程序呢, 必须要按部就班的, 这样子循序渐进的去做。
So once all these impurities are removed, just like the impurities of the butter, we have what is known as clarified ghee.
那么就是说, 当我们把所有的这些 不洁这些污染都清除掉，就好比是黄油中的这些杂质都被去除掉之后呢，我们就有了这个提纯的酥油。And
with clarified ghee, we can cook for Krishna.
那当我们有了这个纯净的酥油的时候，就可以为 Krishna 做饭了。For
example, in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, that's what the elderly gopis do all day. They're churning the butter.
那这个，比如说在 Vrindavan的逍遥时光当中，那些年长的牧牛，你们他们每一天做的事情就是不断的在那个搅拌黄油。And
churning butter is very, very physically difficult.
这个搅拌这个黄油啊，这个得要消耗很多的体力。It's
mentioned when the elderly gopis are churning the butter, they are sweating. It's physically very difficult.
就说到了那些年长的牧牛女们。 他们就是在搅拌这个黄油的时候，搅拌的时候非常非常的累，然后有的时候都汗如雨下。But
what are they doing while they are churning the butter?
但是他们在搅拌这个黄油的时候，他们在一边做些什么呢？
They're singing songs about Krishna.
他们去唱一些跟 Krishna 有关的歌。So
making the ghee is difficult, but at the same time they don't give up remembering Krishna.
搅拌这个酥油是非常的累人的一件事情，但是与此同时，他们也心心念念的想着 Krishna.
And not only that, even after they endeavor so much to churn this butter, they put it in clay pots, and Krishna comes, breaks everything, and gives everything to the monkeys.
而且呢，他们费了那么大的劲，把这个黄油做出来之后，放到那个黄油罐里面，但是 Krishna 却把这个陶罐给打碎了，然后还把黄油分给猴子吃。All
these efforts that the gopis are making to make this beautiful butter, and then Krishna just breaks everything and give everything to the monkeys and makes a big mess in the house.
那这些gopis们呢，费了这么大的劲，辛辛苦苦的做出黄油来，但是 Krishna 呢，却把这所有的这些东西弄得一塌糊涂。
And that's where the Damodar Lila comes in.
那这个时候呢，就有了这个Damodar的这个Lila，就是Damodar的。What
do we learn? What do we learn from these Damodar prayers?
那我们现在每天所唱的这个Damodar的这个祷文，究竟告诉你些什么呢？
There are so many amazing lessons from these Damodar prayers.
其实在这个Damodar的这个祷文当中呢，有很多的。
First, Mother Yashoda, she has to do something to stop Krishna from breaking into people's home and stealing their butter.
首先呢，就是说，Yashoda妈妈得想方设法的不让这个 Krishna 闯到别人家里去，把黄油罐给打碎。So
she selects a few cows who will get special grass so they can give special milk.
所以说呢，他就选了几头特别的这个奶牛，让他们吃一些特别的草，这样就可以产出一些特别的牛奶。And
with that very special milk, which is only for Krishna, she will boil the milk and then gradually turn it into butter.
那么呢，这个牛奶就非常特别了，就专门是为 Krishna 所准备的，然后他得把这个牛奶熬制了，然后做成这个黄油，专门的是给 Krishna 吃的。So
there she is in her kitchen, baby Krishna on her lap, and the milk is boiling over.
那么他在这个厨房，那然后呢，Krishna呢就躺在他的这个腿上。 然后他在喂奶的时候，这个时候呢，这个牛奶厨房里的这个牛奶呢，沸腾了。Now
what's more important to keep to take care of Krishna or to take care of the milk?
到底是照顾 Krishna 更重要呢，还是照顾这个牛奶更重要呢？
Some may say, well, Krishna is more important than the milk.
那有些人可能就说了，那当然是 Krishna 要比牛奶更重要。
But Mother Yashoda, she's thinking differently.
但是呢 ，Yashoda 妈妈她的想法是不一样的。
That milk is her service to Krishna.
因为那个牛奶就代表着她对 Krishna 的服务。
So she puts Krishna down, go and take care of the milk, and Krishna does not like it.
然后她就把这个 Krishna 给放下了，然后就去照顾那个牛奶。那这个就 Krishna 就不乐意了。
So he retaliates.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就开始有了一个小小的报复行动。
And this takes place within a matter of moments.
那这个其实就是那这件事情就一瞬间就发生了。
He steps out of the room.
他就从这个家里面出来。
Breaks all the butter pots.
把所有的这个黄油罐都给打碎。
Gives everything to the monkeys.
啊，把这个黄油呢都分给猴子。
Mother Yashoda turns around, she doesn't see him.
然后 Yashoda 妈妈就转过头来，就不见了 Krishna.
And she sees the house is upside down.
然后呢，就看到家里面乱七八糟的。
And Krishna knows he has done it. He's in trouble.
那 Krishna 就知道了，麻烦来了。
So he begins to run.
他就开始。逃跑了。
And Mother Yashoda is running after him.
那 Yashoda 妈妈呢就追在他后面追着他跑。
And Krishna's heart starts beating fast because he's afraid of his mom.
Krishna 很怕他的妈妈，所以他的心就蹦蹦直跳。
And he begins to cry.
然后掉了眼泪。
So he's rubbing his eyes.
所以呢就用小手去揉着眼睛。
So when he's rubbing his eyes, the mascara starts running down. It's all black.
然后当他去揉眼睛的时候呢，他这个眼睛上的这个黑色的这个眼膏啊，就流了下来。一边哭嘛，就流，弄得满脸都是。
Now Mother Yashoda is running and running. Now you have to understand, Mother Yashoda, she's not 25 years old. She's an elderly woman.Of course.
那我们要知道这个亚瑟的妈妈在追这个Krishna 在后边呼哧呼哧的追。要知道亚瑟的妈妈可不是这个二十几岁的小姑娘了。
Of course, this is described by Jiva Goswami. Devotees don't think about this.
那 Jiva Goswami 呢在这一点是根本就Jiva Goswami 写了关于这个写的非常的详细，这些是奉献者不知道。
Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they're not a young couple.
Nanda Maharaj 这个亚瑟的妈妈可不是年轻夫妇。
They've been waiting for many years to have children.
因为呢，他们为了等来这个孩子啊，他们已经等了很多很多年。
She already had 6 miscarriages.
那之前她已经有六次的流产。
Okay, and then Balaram and then Krishna comes.
然后 Balaram 和 Krishna 就来了。
So it's mentioned in the Goswami literatures.Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are they're not old people, but they are elderly.
所以说呢，在这个六国斯瓦米的这个文献当中，就是写到了这个Yashoda妈妈和 Nanda Maharaj 虽然称不上是老人了，但是呢，实际上也比较的年长了，已经不年轻。
Of course, they are appearing as youthful because they are spiritual.
因为他们是灵性的，所以他们看起来呢，就是非常的风华正茂，非常的年轻。
So now Mother Yashoda is running. She's getting exhausted running after that little boy.
那这个亚瑟的妈妈呢，跟在这个 Krishna, 后边跑，跑着非常的累。
And then she catches him finally.
然后最终呢，终于把这个 Krishna 给抓住了。
And she wants to tie him up so he doesn't go away anymore.
他就想用绳子把这个小 Krishna 给捆起来，不让他跑走。
But the rope is too short.
但是这个绳子总是太短。
She gets more rope. The rope is too short.
然后他又接了一些绳子，但是还是短。
She gets rope from all the houses, and the rope is too short.
他把邻居家的这个绳子都借来，都系上了，但是还是太短。
What does that mean?
那这意味着什么呢
？In the Damodar prayers, this is explained.
在这个 Damodar 的这个祷文当中呢，在这里就是有了。
That so many yogis are trying to reach Krishna, so many gyanis are trying to reach Krishna, and they cannot.
就说这么多的 yogi 这个瑜伽师，这么多的 gyani 思辨家，都想找到 Krishna。
Krishna is only bound by pure love.
但是呢。这个 Krishna 呢，他只被这个纯粹的奉爱所捆绑。
So only after we remove all our misconceptions, all our material attachment, finally we can catch Krishna.
所以只有当我们去除了所有的物质上的错误的这种概念，还有物质世俗的依附之后，我们都变得纯净了，我们才能真正的抓住 Krishna.
So we are talking here about Krishna's eternal associate, and they are working hard to catch Krishna.
那我们在这里说的就是说是提到的就是 Krishna 永恒的同友，但是即便是他们都要费很大的劲才能够抓住 Krishna.
So what about us, poor, insignificant jivas?
那我们这些非常可怜的微不足道的 jiva 又该怎么办呢？
How are we going to catch Krishna?
我们怎么样才能抓住 Krishna 呢？
We have to go through these different levels of bhakti. Anatta nivritti, removing unwanted material desires, is part of the process.
我们必须要清理我这个 Krishna 觉的这个程序，然后循序渐进的去走，去经历这个 anatta nivritti 这个清除冒犯。净化心灵的这样的一个阶段。
Then we have, as it is mentioned by Vishvana Chakravarti Thakur, the five remaining obstacles.
那这个 Vishvana Chakravarti Thakur 呢，他现在就提到了，就是接下来剩下的这个五重障碍。
The first one is called Laya.
第一重障碍被称为 Laya.
Drowsiness.
Drowsiness, you mean, like, 就是说、非常的、倦怠。
The other is Vikshepa.
第二个被称为 Vikshepa.、
Vikshepa.、
第二个叫做 Vikshepa.
It's distraction.、
就是分神。
Means not being focused.、
就是说呢不专注。
The third one is Apratipati.
第三个被称为 apratipati.
This is incompetence.
You mean weakness?
Yes.
就是指的就是非常的、虚弱软弱的那种状态。
Incompetence, it doesn't mean that you're not capable of doing something. You don't have to be expert, but incompetence means you are weak.、
那就是、在这里呢它指的并不是说你没有能力做某件事情，不是指的你这种能力和你的这种精湛的这个程度在某一些事情上面，它主要指的就是说内心非常的脆弱虚弱的这样的一个状态。
The fourth one is Kashaya.
第四点呢就被称为 Kashaya.
To have a contaminated consciousness.
就是说是被污染的知觉或者说意识。
In other words, we may be very strict with our sadhana, we may have perfect behavior, we may do very nice service, we may have good relationship with devotees, but there are still some contamination in the heart.
就比如说呢，一个奉献者，他的这个 sadhana 非常的严格，跟奉献者呢联谊也非常好，跟奉献者关系很好，奉献者呢也非常的不错、奉献服务做得、无可挑剔，但是他可能依然还有一些这种精微的这个污染。
And then finally the fifth one, Rasavad.、
第五个障碍就被称为 Rasavad.
We still have the taste for mundane pleasure.
就是对于世俗的享乐呢、还是有这个品味。
Oh, I am doing so much service. I am so busy. I'm chanting so many nice rounds. I'm reading so many books. Therefore, I deserve to watch a movie.
就是说呢，就是一方面挺沾沾自喜，觉得自己做的服务很好，做的联谊也非常的好，然后这个经典也读得很好，念诵也念得很好，就什么都不错。但是心里面还想看部电影什么的。
I want to go shopping.
我想去购物。
I want to waste time talking about stupid things.
就是把这个时间浪费在这个闲扯上面。
I'm going to eat some food which I know is not very sattvic and you can't offer to Krishna, but I will eat it anyway.
就比如说你知道一些东西它不是那么 sattvic, 不是那么洁净，也不能去供奉 Krishna 的。 但是呢心里面还想着。
Because this is what I used to eat when I was young, so I'm very attached to this.
啊，就是说，但是对这个味道还这个念念不忘，因为就是小的时候就是吃的这个东西长大的，所以放不下，还老想着。
There was one couple many, many years ago. They used to do, I mean, I have never seen anyone doing so much service and having such a strong sadhana.
在很多年之前呢，就我遇到这样一对夫妇，我从来都没有见过有人像他们的这个 sadhana 那么的严格，那么强大，然后做这么多的服务。
They used to be in charge of all the gardens on the farm.
就是在农场上所有的这个花园，他们都照顾得非常好。
And also the upkeep of the land and cleaning everywhere. I mean, they were working like so many hours.
他们每天都花很多的时间，好多个小时来清理这个农场啊，这个花园啊，然后地面呀、啊、打扫呀这些。
And every morning they would be there for Mangalati. Every morning they would chant all their rounds. Every morning they would come to the Bhagavatam class.
每天呢？他就是一天都不落下的，都会准时的参加蒙哥拉底早上的吉祥灯仪。哎，那一早就把所有的圈都念完了，而且每天必定都聆听圣典博加瓦坛的早课。
One time they needed to take a break. They needed to go away for a month to visit the family and everything.
然后有一次呢，他们就是说，需要去度个假，因为要去见一见家人，就是要离开一阵子。
So everybody felt absolutely no problem. You really deserve a break. Go and take a month of vacation.
因为其他的奉献者都觉得他们完全能休息一下，要有一个假期，因为他们工作服务的太努力了，所以回去看一看自己的家人肯定是没问题的。
So they went away for a month and then they came back. They were, you know, fully recharged.
You mean physically? 然后呢他们就离开了一个月，过了这一个月回来的时候呢就精神非常好，休息得很充分。
I asked them, so what did you do during your vacation?
然后我就问他们说呢，你们在这个度假的时候做些什么呀？
They said we did nothing.
他们就说我们什么都没干。
That's what you do on vacation, you do nothing.
你度假的时候就是这样，什么都不干就叫度假嘛。
I said yes, but I mean,you know, you have good japa, you read.
然后我就问他说，那你们一定是 japa 念诵得很好，然后天天都看书看得很好吧。
He said, no, vacation means you do nothing.
他们说没有啊，什么都没干，因为假期意思就是无所事事的就叫假期。
You don't need to chant, you don't need to read, you don't need to offer your food to Krishna, you just do nothing.
你不用念诵，你不用看书，你也不用向 Krishna 供奉食物。什么都不用干，这个才叫度假呢。
This is not a great idea about how to enjoy Krishna consciousness.
就是这个不是享受 Krishna 知觉的好的思路。
So we have to understand that to make progress in Krishna consciousness is actually you reduce your time that you think of material thing as you increase your time that you think of spiritual thing.
所以什么叫做 Krishna 知觉的进步呢，就是意味着你对于那些物质的这个欲望方面的事情呢就想的少了，减少物质欲望，但是呢你对这个 Krishna 的这个服务这方面的愿望呢就增加了。
So, once we have passed this level of removing, now we have to understand something here. When we remove the material desires from the heart, which is anatta nivritti, we move to the next platform, which is nishta.
那就是说，当我们把内心的这种不洁、这种污染、欲望、世俗欲望都清除了之后呢，也就是 anatta nivritti 的这个阶段走过了之后，我们就到达了这个 nishta 的这个。
And Nishta means unshakable, means fixed.
Nishta 的意思就是坚定不移了，不可动摇的。
Fixed means we don't turn back. The devotee is firmly rooted in the process of bhakti yoga.
就是这个奉献者对bhakti yoga 奉爱瑜伽的这个信心就是根深蒂固的建立起来了，毫不动摇，毫不回头。
Depending 100% on the mercy of the guru, depending 100% on the mercy of the Vaishnavas and on the process of devotional service.
就是100%的托给于对灵性导师的这个仁慈的信心，然后呢， 100%的托给于奉献者，以及这个 Bhakti Yoga 风爱瑜伽或者说 Krishna 知觉的这个程序。
Which means the devotee at that stage has developed Vaishnav saintly qualities.
换句话说，在这个阶段的时候，奉献者已经培养出了 Vaishnava的这种神圣的品格。
Such as kindness.
比如说呢，友善。
Mercy.
仁慈。
Forgiveness.
宽容,
truthfulness.
真诚,
these qualities may not be able to manifest when we are struggling with our material desires.
当我们还在纠缠于我们的物质欲望的时候, 在其中挣扎沉浮的时候, 这些美好的奉献者的品格可能还没有浮现出来。
But when we are more surrendered to Krishna consciousness and fixed in the process, then these qualities naturally manifest.
但是呢，当我们完全的脱离不是知觉的这个程序的时候，去投入其中的时候，那么这些品格它就会自然而然的呈现出来。
So the other thing that happened is we depend on bhakti alone. We don't depend on material qualities, material abilities.
那另外一点就是说，我们只是完全的依赖于bhakti，奉爱，而不依靠，比如说在物质上面的这种资格呀，或者物质上的这种能力什么的。
Therefore, the body, the words, or the speech, and the mind are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's nishta, fixed.
所以呢，这样呢，到了这个阶段的时候，这个奉献者的身体、他的语言、他的心意，都完全的，就是投入在这个Krishna知觉之中。那奉献者就是完全的是非常的坚定不移的，这个就叫做nishta的这个阶段。
But this is by no means, this is not pure bhakti.
但是呢，这个还谈不上是这个纯粹的bhakti.
Pure bhakti will take much more efforts.
要达到这个纯粹的份啊，还要付出更大的努力。
But normally, when we reach the platform of this nishta, we are in a very, very safe position.
那一般来说，当我们已经达到了nishta的这个阶段的时候，其实
And this is actually what Srila Prabhupada encouraged all the devotees to get to.
所以呢，这个阶段，这个层面也是 Srila Prabhupada 极力鼓励奉献者去达到。Nishta
means madhyam, means maturity in Krishna consciousness.
这个nishta的意思，nishta它其实就是 madhyam, 终极奉献者的那个阶段，它是一个比较成熟的阶段。
Not a neophyte devotee anymore, mature devotee.
已经不是一个初级的奉献者了，可以说是成熟奉献者。So
this should be our prime objective. When we are practicing bhakti yoga, we have to aim at becoming a mature devotee.
所以在我们休息这个风爱瑜伽或者 Krishna 知觉的时候呢，它也应当成为我们最主要的一个目标，就是说我们希望 在 Krishna 知觉当中，能够达到这样的一种成熟的阶段。And
mature does not mean the number of years in Krishna consciousness.
这个成熟并不等于在 Krishna 知觉当中待了多少年。Oh,
she's been in Krishna consciousness for 20 years. It means she's very advanced. No, it doesn't mean that at all.
并不意味着那个人他已经在 Krishna 知觉当中 有20年的修行经历了，那他就已经是达到了成熟阶段了，这两者是不能划等号的。You
can be a 20-year devotee, it doesn't mean that you are mature.
那你在 Krishna 知觉当中可能已经是20年了，但是根本可能还谈不上是成熟呢。
You're expected to be mature, but it doesn't mean that this is the case, the reality.
按理说你应当已经达到成熟了，但是这并不 意味着就符合真实的情况。Someone
may be 5 years or 10 years in Krishna consciousness and be very mature.
那一个人他可能只在 Krishna 知觉里也就待了5年10年，但是他可能已经是相当的成熟了。So
Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to quickly dive into the process, follow the system as it is given by Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis and become mature.
那十二方法是希望奉献者能够全身心的投入到Krishna的指导去做，然后呢，就是尽快的达到一个成熟的阶段。So
this is the platform of Nishtha.
这个就叫做, Nishtha的层面。
And the next platform is the platform of Ruchi. Ruchi means taste. We actually begin to taste. Krishna consciousness becomes very palatable.
那就是下一个阶段, 在Nishtha这个阶段之后的, 就叫做Ruchi。 Ruchi的阶段呢, 就是说有了品味, 就是对Krishna知觉真的是有了一种非常美好的品味。
So we will discuss next time Ruchi.
那下一次, 在下一堂课当中, 我们再来讨论Ruchi。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. OK, 看一看大家有没有问题。
Is she there? Oh.
What about Nishtha, like an unshakable resolve from time to time?
Exactly.
Is that called Nishtha or not? My question for you.
Unshakable resolve from time to time?
Yes.
There's no such thing time to time, otherwise it's not unshakable, it's shakable.
It's time to time, it's very shaky. Yes.
I wonder how many devotees actually tuned in this morning.
I don't think there are many. Maybe many devotees don't know yet back. So does that mean when you reach Nishtha, you are totally free from material desire? Not really. But one learns to conquer.
Some devotees tell me that there's no YY this morning. And this was at 7:15.
No.
Prem Sarabhas said there's no YY. As for Makirada, if devotees have been tuning in.
You want me to ask now?
Yeah.
Sumakirada, 就是 有的奉献者在7:15的时候还说YY上面没有声音, 不知道是不是正常的, should be because there are questions coming. 应该是有声音的哈。 那第一个问题就是, Smoothie Rada询问, 感恩帕布和Mataji的精彩讲课, 请问帕布Vaishnava的品格原本就存在于每个灵魂之中, 只是被覆盖了, 还是必须要在奉爱的服务中才能培养出来。 The first question, first of all, she thanks for your wonderful class. The question is, all the qualities belonging to Vaishnava are originally situated in every soul, but just recovered, or you have to cultivate it through the devotional service?
In the Shastra, it's mentioned the Vaishnava's 26 qualities. But it's not like everybody will cultivate each one of those qualities.
但是并不是说, 任何一个人都会, 培养每一项这种品格。
But there is one quality which is common to all, and that's humility.
但是呢，有一个品格是每一个人都应当去培养的，这个就是谦卑。
So without humility, all the other 25 qualities collapse.
如果是没有谦卑作为一个前提的话，所有的这些其他的25项品格就立不起来了。
Qualities that Vaishnava develops is based on one's personal nature.
那这个 Vaishnava 的这个品质呢，它一方面它要基于一个人的个性。
One's character.
它的本身的这个性品格。
One's abilities.
还有它的能力。
One's tendencies.
Tendency. 还有这个人的一种倾向。
And they can all be used in Krishna's service.
就是这个属于个人的 这些性格当中的品格当中的这些倾向性的东西，它是可以都用到 Krishna 直觉的服务之中的。
But the main ingredient is bhakti. If we don't have devotion, if we don't want to offer the fruit of our work to Krishna, then all these qualities are meaningless.
那就是说这些如果一个人呢，他如果没有 bhakti 奉爱的这种品质，也就是没有这种最重要的元素在里面的话，即便这个人非常的有才华，非常的有能力，所有的其他的这些品格呢，也就都失去了意义了。
And this is where we have to look at the expertise of the spiritual master to engage the disciple in a very particular way, so that that disciple will blossom.
所以说呢，灵性导师呢。他就要有这样的一方面的这个专长，就是说这个灵性导师他要知道怎么样依据这个奉献者的这个特点，让他去从事一些特定的这个奉献服务，这样子呢才能够让他就是绽放出来。 OK， 下一个问题是来自于 Chandra Vilasini， 顶拜老师顶拜翻译，请教一下有什么方法可以快速的清除心中的 anartha， 或者今生就快速清除掉。Is there any way in particular that can remove all the anarthas from the hearts as soon as possible? At least, for example, to clear them quickly in this single lifetime. Thank you very much.
First of all, we don't all have the same material desires.
首先一点呢，就是每个人的物质欲望都是不一样的。
Only you know where your attachments are lying.
那么只有一个人他自己才能够知道他的这种世俗物质的依附究竟在哪儿。
But as is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have to constantly hear and chant.
那么就像这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永乐启太上经里说到的，我们要时时刻刻的去唱诵和聆听。
Hearing and chanting, associating with devotees.
聆听唱诵与奉献者的联谊。
Performing practical devotional service.
去从事一些实际的奉献服务。
Giving Krishna to others.
把 Krishna 知觉给别人。
Being absorbed in remembering the holy Dhamma.
沉浸在对圣地的意念之中。
Reading the Srimad Bhagavatam.
阅读这个圣典博迦瓦坛。
Performing worship of the deities.
然后呢，去这个崇拜神像。
These are very powerful ways of removing all the unwanted material desires from the heart.
这些就是说，所有的这些，物质世俗的欲望，这种不洁清除掉的一些非常有力量的方法。
Now it's not. We're not. This is not a competition.
但是这个可不是一种竞争。
I mean, Prabhupada did say that we could reach pure Krishna consciousness in this lifetime.
那的确是Srila Prabhupada也是说了，在一个人他可以在一生当中就达到纯粹的 Krishna 知觉。
But we can't do it artificially.
但是这个事情是不能刻意人为的去做的。
We can only do it step by step.
我们只能是一步一步循序渐进的。
You can't jump over the system. You have to go through every practical step.
你不能跳跃在这个系统当中呢，它是一个循序渐进的过程，你是不能跳过的。 OK， 下一个问题，等一下啊，我挪一下。Jinja Prabhu 询问，感恩 Prabhu 和翻译做严格的 Sadhana， 还有那么多物质欲望，是否说明 Sadhana 做的不怎么样呀？If someone keeps a very strict sadhana, but at the same time still keeping a lot of material desire, does that mean his sadhana is very weak?
It doesn't mean the sadhana is very weak.
并不一定就说明他的 sadhana 做得很不好。
Because the process of sadhana, there is a verse that mentioned the two words sadhana and sadhya.Sadhana is the way, but it's also the goal.
就是有两个词，一个叫 sadhana， 一个叫 sadhya。这个 sadhana 呢，它既是一个程序，它又是一个目标。
In other words, when the new devotee goes to Mangalarti, chants his rounds, goes to the Bhagavatam class and does service, he's doing exactly the same activities than the Mahabhagavat.
那比如说一个出席的奉献者天天早上去参加蒙格拉提啊，清晨的吉祥灯仪，然后去念诵，然后参加圣典薄伽瓦坛的这个早课，这个就是他的 sadhana， 而他所做的这些和 Mahabhagavat 是完全是一样的。
And the best example are the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. I mean, they were the kings of sadhana.
那就比如说像这个Vrindavan 的六 Goswami， 他们每天所做的，就代表的是说明他们就是说，就像 Sadhana 之王，他们是做的最好的 Sadhana。
So the point I want to make here is whether we are weak or not, Sadhana must go on。
那换句话说，就是不管是我们是在 Sadhana 方面比较的严格强大，还是说非常的虚弱，无论如何。我们还是要保持着我们的 sadhana， 一定要做下去。
But the point is that because we don't give up sadhana, even if it's difficult, even when we are weak, it means that we are not the controller. We offer the fruit to Krishna.
我们就是去可能在这个 sadhana 这方面呢，就是做的比较的，就是虽然是我们很弱，但是我们还坚持的去。做这个 sadhana， 那在这个时候的一种心态就是要把这个我们的活动的这个成果献给 Krishna。
And that's the whole idea that Krishna declares boldly that my devotee will never perish。
所以呢，是 Krishna 他是就是坚定的这个宣布我的奉献者永不毁灭。
Because even if it's difficult, the devotee never gives up。
因为呢，说到就是。奉献虽然这一切是那么的艰难，但是奉献者也是永不放弃，永不言弃啊。
So
if someone has a lot of material desire, but can be possible that his sadhana is also still very strong.
No, it's not a question of strong. You have to understand, it's not a question of strong. At the beginning stage, even if you are weak because of material desires.Sadhana is a matter of duty. It's a must.
就是在一个人还达到在比较这个初级的这个阶段的时候呢，就是虽然你还有很多的物质欲望，但是一个严格的 sadhana 还是非常的必要的，因为这个 sadhana 在这个时候就是意味着你的责任。
It's a duty.
就是说在这个时候你是把它当成一个责任。
I mean, if you want to ask all the devotees if they are really, really enthusiastic to jump out of bed at 4 o'clock and take a shower and put a dhoti on and tilak and perform. No, oftentimes they don't really want to do it, but it's a duty, it's an instruction from the guru. But as you progress, whether it's difficult or not, you begin to have the taste and then you become spontaneous.
那就是说你要是问问这个其他的这个奉献者每天早上是不是就是满怀热情的就能在4点钟就从床上跳起来然后去沐浴涂上 tilak 拿上念珠袋就开始念诵呢这个是未必是如此那他们不一定虽然有这样的一种非常大的热情或者强烈的这种愿望但是还是把这件事情当成一个责任去完成，为什么呢？因为这是灵性导师所给他的这个训谕、这个训示，而且是承诺过的，所以是一定要去这样做的。 那么你随着日复一日的不断的去重复这样的一个萨德纳，每天的规范修习呢，慢慢的就会是有了这种品味，就是说你对这个整个萨德纳的程序有了品味。You have the taste for the sadhana, and then
you're spontaneous.
那然后最后呢，你就会达到了一种自然而然的一种状态了，就不是像之前那样，只是当成责任比较。有一点机械的。
The only thing that will stop someone from sadhana is offenses to devotees.
那么一个人他在什么样的情况下会完全的停止 sadhana 呢？是主要是在他对其他的奉献者有冒犯的那个情况下。
Before.
这是 Ishvar David 说，老师顶拜您，除了我们的程序以外，还有另外一种与 Krishna 拒绝。与一种与 Krishna 直接连接的方法吗？ So the question is, besides our own process, is there any other method or any other way which can help us to be directly connected to Krishna?
Beside what?
Besides the procedure you just mentioned.
No, no, we can't. There's no magic.
就是除了我们的这个程序之外，没有其他的方法，没有什么其他的。这个魔法了。
Yeah, there is one actually.
实际上是有一个。
And it's called what is known as Kripa Siddha.
这个叫 Kripa Siddha. 确切的说还是有这样的方法叫做 Kripa Siddha.
Just special mercy from Guru and Krishna.
就是 Kripa Siddha, 就是说来自于 Guru 和 Krishna 的特别的人。
They just decide by their own mercy to just remove everything from you.
他们就是是自愿的，他们有这个愿望，要一瞬间把你的这种污染都给清除掉，就是帮助你净化了。这个叫 Kripa Siddha
的。Yes.
就不是这个 Sadhana Siddha 的。一颗雷雨，顶拜老师，顶拜翻译。我刚开始学习 Krishna 之学，请问我应该从哪个方向或者内容开始学习呢？I'm just a beginner in Krishna consciousness.
Welcome.
So from which direction or from which content should I start with?
First of all, be a strict vegetarian and offer all your food to Krishna.
首先第一步你要成为严格的素食者，把食物供奉给 Krishna.
No meat, no fish, no eggs, no onion, no garlic.
不吃鱼肉蛋，不吃葱蒜。这个是一个起步要做的。
And offer all your food to Krishna.
然后把所有的这个食物呢，就是供奉给 Krishna.
And always stay very clean, physically, mentally.
第二个就是要保持内外的洁净。这个外在而言就是你的身体要非常的洁净，保持洁净。内在的而言呢，就是你的心意上的洁净。
Chant Hare Krishna on the beads every day.
每一天呢，要在这个拿手持念珠来念诵。
Doesn't matter one round, two rounds, four rounds, but chant every day.
那不管是一圈、两圈还是四圈吧，这个数目，就是可暂且不论。但是你每一天都要坚持的去念诵。
Study the Bhagavad Gita.
学习圣典。国家梵歌。
Don't read, study the book.
不要只是读而已，要去真正的去研习。
And serve the devotees.
然后呢，就是要去服务其他的奉献者。
This is the basic foundation of Krishna consciousness.
这是 Krishna 知觉的这个基础。
Next.
Okay, 下一个问题 ，Hare Krishna Mataji, Hare Krishna 老师提到这对夫妇。他们做了很多服务，但是在度假回来的时候却是什么也不做，他们甚至不唱诵，他们是对 Krishna 没有品味吗？So you mentioned about the couple who went for a vacation for 1 month. Although they did a lot of service during the vacation, they didn't do anything.
No, no,
not
no, no,
even
no. They
chanting.
They didn't do a lot of service during vacation.
No, they didn't do anything. They even didn't chant. Does that mean they have no taste? They had no taste for Krishna.
Means they had they have their own understanding of Krishna consciousness. As a matter of fact, they're not in Krishna consciousness anymore. I mean, they're somewhere out there.
那就是意味着他们如果是这样的话，就是说他们对 Krishna 直觉有自己的一个理解，实际上他们如果不念诵的话，就意味着他们不在 Krishna 直觉中。So they have some misunderstanding.
Yes.
就是他们对于这 Krishna 知觉还是没有这个足够的正确的认识。They must be very young at that time.
Yes.
他们那个时候还很年轻，就是西方的奉献者夫妇。
If a devotee has to take a break from daily routine of Krishna consciousness, is to increase one's Krishna consciousness.
如果说哪个奉献者他要就是中断他平常做的那些日常的那些奉献服务，然后换一件事情去做的话，那也是为了要去提高自己的 Krishna 知觉。
Like devotees ask that question to Srila Prabhupada, what is the reward of devotional service?
就好像有奉献者去询问 Srila Prabhupada 说奉献服务的回报是什么。
Prabhupada said more devotional service.
Prabhupada 说更多的奉献服务。
This is not about, we have to understand this principle. Krishna consciousness is not about us, it's about Krishna.
我们一定要明白一个道理， Krishna 知觉不是意味着我们，意味着以我们为中心，而是以 Krishna 为中心。
It's not about our own personal spiritual happiness.
不是只是为了去寻求我们的灵性喜乐去了。
We don't practice Krishna consciousness so we can become happy.
我们修习 Krishna 知觉的目的不是为了让我们快乐。
Krishna consciousness, we want to be conscious of Krishna, not be self-conscious.
我们叫 Krishna 知觉就意味着要去知觉到 Krishna, 觉知到 Krishna, 而不是呢总是觉知在自己。
We want to become qualified so we can do pure service to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure alone. And because Krishna becomes pleased, we are automatically pleased.
就是说我们是希望通过 Krishna 知觉去培养自己的资格，让自己更加的去完善。这样呢就是只以 Krishna 为目标去做这个奉献服务，这样子就能够真正的取悦 Krishna。 而当 Krishna 这个高兴了， Krishna 喜悦了之后，我们自然而然的也会得到灵性的喜悦。
So we have to, there are two things. First is the practice of devotional service, which includes sadhana.
那么所以呢这里呢就有两个方面，一方面我们自己呢就得非常认真的去做这个 sadhana， 就是自己的规范。
And then is to follow in the footsteps of those who are already successful in Krishna consciousness.
那另外一方面就是要去追随着就是紧密的去追随着那些在 Krishna 知觉当中已经达到完美的奉献者的脚步。
And we have all these examples. Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, all the pure devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have unlimited number of examples to be inspired.
那么这里呢就有很多的这个榜样可以在激励着我们，比如说像 Arjuna 还有圣贤伯加瓦坛里面说到的这些伟大的奉献者，还有 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这些同游，这些追随者，就是所有的这些人都可以成为激励我们的榜样。
Thanks.
下一个问题是 Sumuki Rada 询问，请问老师，亚瑟的妈妈之前有六次流产，然后 Balaram 和 Krishna 才来，这个和 Devaki 妈妈的六次流产情况有关联吗？ You mentioned that Mother Yashoda had six miscarriages and then Balaram and Krishna came to her. Is it related toDevaki Mata's six miscarriages? Mother Devaki.
No. I mixed things. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. Devaki, she had six miscarriages. But Mother Yashoda could not have children for many, many years. Sorry.
很抱歉。
Thank you, Sumukira.
Sumukira. 很感谢你提醒了我这一点，我刚才的确是说错了， 就是说是 Devaki Madhati， 不是 Devaki Devaki 妈妈，她的确有六次那个流产啊，但是那个亚瑟的妈妈是很多很多年都没有孩子。
I've been doing lots of reading lately, so I've got all these things in my mind. Mother Yashoda could not have children for many, many years. So you can imagine when she finally got pregnant.
这就是亚修的妈妈，她是很多很多年就是等待着有孩子，但是一直就是没有孩子。所以你可以想象当这个 Krishna 到来的时候，她是多么的喜悦。因为来长跑步最近看了很多有关这方面的书，给混了。Katia Yani 询问 ，Hare Krishna Divine 他不和翻译，请问灵魂以什么方式存在？像桌子椅子里面有灵魂吗？还是只有 Krishna 的外在能量呢？In which form does the soul exist? For example, are there souls in tables and chairs, or the souls only exist in the external energy of Krishna?
Who is asking that question?
Katyayani.
The soul can be in dull matter.
这个灵魂也是可以在这个物质之中。
Like Prabhupada explained the Bhagavatam that mountains are actually living entities.
But it's not dull matter anymore.就像帕帕他说这个山峰啊，它也是里边也是灵魂有生命。
The soul can be in dull matter, but the consciousness is completely covered.
灵魂它可以在这个物质当中，然后它的这个知觉是这个时候就会在一种完全被覆盖的状态下。
That's mentioned very clearly in Bhagavad Gita.
这个是在佛家梵歌当中非常清楚的说到的。
First, there is dull matter.
首先是这个物质的这个元素。
Then there's the senses.
然后物质的这个物体哈，就是。
Then there's the mind.
然后是感官，然后心业。
Then there's the intelligence.
然后是智性。
And then the soul.
然后到灵魂。
So there's different layers of consciousness.
所以呢，就是它的这个知觉。就是一层一层的是不一样的，有的是更厚一些的覆盖，有的是更薄一些。
And this is also very, very nicely described by in the teachings of Lord Rishabdev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
在圣典博加瓦他的第五篇主 Rishabdev 的这个教导当中有非常详细的解释。
He covers the whole spectrum from dull matter all the way to pure brahmanas.
他就讲到了，他把整个的这个都讲到了，就是从这个最物质的这个物质元素开始，一直到纯粹的这个 Brahmana， 就是整个的这个过程他都讲到了。
So sometimes the soul may be trapped.
有的时候这个灵魂它可能就被困住了。
And then something will happen, then the soul will move on.To a different types of body, which will still be trapped but moving.
那就是有的时候这个灵魂它完全被禁锢起来了，就是不能动的，完全被缠住了。但是到一定的时候，它可能发生某件事情，这个灵魂就继续往前走。换句话说，就是离开了这种被困住的这种躯体，然后进入到一个新的躯体当中，它可能。不一定是躯体了，这样一种新的一种状态当中，它就可以稍微有一些可以动了。
And because of that, it's also mentioned in the Upanishads that the super soul, Paramatma, is within every atom and in between each atom.
在个 Upanishad 的里面呢，就是讲到这个灵魂，它可以存在于。所有的这种最小的这个原子之中，也存在于原子与原子之间的缝隙里。
For the purpose to accompany the soul for the moment when the soul will turn to him.
那这个超灵就是一直这样子去伴随着这个个体的这个灵魂，就是等待着个体的灵魂转向他的那一刻。
So, Paramatma, the function of Paramatma in the material world is to accompany the jiva up to the stage when the jiva wakes up.
那所以说呢，这个超灵，它就是它的作用就是一直在这个物质世界里，无论这个个体的灵魂到哪里，它就伴随着它，然后就等待着这个个体灵魂转向它的这一刻。
Okay, now it's Upadeshamrita's mommy.
现在到了这个 Upadeshamrita 的妈妈提问了，就是 Free and Living， 法兰帕布和。翻译，您说心中要谨记不要冒犯，可是我们却还是有冒犯，就会带来心意的干扰。就像帕布曾经告诉我，给孩子牛奶每次都要供奉，但我实践后觉得确实非常的困难，我也不知道该怎么做，可是做不到。但是阿加米拉的故事又告诉我们，即使是有冒犯的念头也是可以的，这不是有些矛盾吗？ You said we should always keep in mind.Not to offend anyone. However, we still keep on making offenses, which will bring a lot of disturbances to our mind. For example, Prabhu, you told me that every time I should offer the milk, to Krishna before feeding the baby. However, I try to practice, but it's still very difficult. I really don't know how to do it. I want to do it, but it's not possible.On the other hand, the story about Ajamil also, has also told us that even the chanting with offenses is allowed. Is there any conflict between these two?
You misunderstood both.
你对这两方面都有一些误解。
It takes nothing to offer milk to Krishna.
但是其实你供奉这个牛奶对 Krishna 可以是非常的简单的。
You can even offer in your mind.
你可以在心意当中供奉牛奶给 Krishna.
You can offer anything in your mind.
其实你在你的这个心意当中，通过心意你可以供奉各种的这个食物给 Krishna.
You can offer milk in your mind with your heart, with your sincerity, despite your challenges and weaknesses, Krishna will accept that offering.
你可以用你的真诚，用你的真心去供奉这个牛奶。虽然你的这个处境比较的艰难，有很多的挑战，然后也比较的这个脆弱，但是呢 ，Krishna 他能够接受到你的这种真诚，所以 Krishna 他就会保护你，帮助你。
And when you offer in your mind, you chant the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna and you pray to Krishna to please accept this offering.
那当你去供奉心意的时候，你可以在心意里面供奉，同时念诵 Hare Krishna, 祈求 Krishna 能够接受这个牛奶。
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you offer me a fruit, a flower, water, and a leaf. If you do it with devotion, I will accept that.
Krishna 他也是亲自说了，就是以爱心去供奉他。一朵花，一点水，一点水果呢，一片叶子，它都是接受的。
So it's not a question of the material facilities or the circumstances you're in. It's what is in your heart.
所以说呢，你的物质处境是怎样的，你的境况是怎样的，这些其实是并不是最重要的，最关键的还是你的内心。
For example, we are here right now in a hotel room.
举例来说，我们现在是坐在一个宾馆的房间里面。
And I have my deities with me here.
那我在这里呢，有我的神像伴随。
I don't have a kitchen.
我在这里也没有厨房。
I can't cook.
我没有办法做饭。
So what kind of offering can I make to my deities?
那我怎么去供奉我的神像呢？
So in my mind, every day I offer a big feast.
那么所以我每一天呢。我都是通过心意去冥想，给 Krishna 供奉一个大餐。
With a lot of attention and many details.
然后我在供奉心意供奉的时候呢，我要加入很多的这种细节，非常非常的具体。
And that mental activity is actually very absorbing. Prabhupada says Manasa Puja is more powerful than normal puja.
所以呢，就是当你这样子用心去冥想的时候，其实是非常有力量的。然后你真的是。全神贯注于其中啊，而且Śrīla Prabhupāda也说过了，这样的 Manasi Puja 心意的这种 Puja 供奉，要比这个具体的那种供奉的话， 力量还要来得大。
So work with your heart more often. You'll see you'll get great results.
所以说呢，你要更加的用心。如果你真正用心的话，你就会发现这个结果是不请自来的。Free and easy, continue to ask. Free and easy 继续询问，我们在实践的时候究竟是能做多少就做多少，还是一定要很严格呢？知行合一很难的时候，就很容易心意不安稳，也不坚定。When we practice, should we always be super strict, or we should do according to our capacity? It is very difficult to always do whatever one understands to keep the words and the actions together. So we can be very restless in our mind, and we might be far from being steadfast.
No, you have to, first you have to look at what the standard is.
首先你要看一看这个标准应当是什么。
You should always look up to the standard.
就是这个标准是永远要树立在那里的。
For example, in Krishna consciousness, from day one, we know what is the goal.
也就是说你要始终的去仰望这个标准。就比如说你第一天你进入了 Krishna 知觉，你立刻就知道标准是什么。
There's no hidden agenda. We know exactly where we are going.
就是在进入 Krishna 知觉的时候就没有说有什么秘密，我们就从第一天就知道什么，就所有跟 Krishna 知觉有关的这些标准也都已经非常清晰的展现在你的面前了。
Then we are given a process by which we can reach that goal.
然后接下来我们学到的就是一个程序，告诉我们怎么样去通过这个程序达到那个目标。
Then within that process, we have to see where we can fit in so we can do our best.
然后在这个程序当中，我们就要看一看我们究竟应当处在什么样的这种位置，应当是怎么样就是适应到这个程序，然后呢我们就可以获得进步。
And when we do our best, we come to understanding of how much is necessary to move forward.
那当我们尽我们的所能去做的时候呢，我们就会看到究竟为了要得到这个 Krishna 知觉的进步，我们究竟还要做些什么，我们的差距在哪里。
And we have to be very honest with ourselves. Can I afford to push myself forward?
所以说我们这个时候要对自己要非常的诚实，要知道就是说自己有没有这种力量的继续的去就是推动自己呢。
Without being artificial, without pretending.
那么在你的这种努力的时候呢，是否就可以是非常真诚的，就是真实的去做，而不是说是刻意的这种不自然的人为的那种。
So we have that kind of flexibility up to a certain level.
所以说呢，这样的一种灵活度的这个把握可以到一定的程度。
And that level is when we officially take initiation and accept the spiritual master.
我对不起，我澄清一下。 You mean before taking the initiation from spiritual master, you still have that flexibility?
That's right.
那就是说在就是启迪之前的话，你还是可以有这样的一个宽松度可以去掌握的。 Then after initiation,
then there is commitment.
然后因为你启迪了，你就是有了这个承诺了，在这个时候你就必须要按照你的这个承诺去做了。
Things get more serious.
然后你就更加的认真了，更加的这种严格。
But no matter what, we should always keep the chanting.
但是无论如何，无论在任何的情况下，你都必须要坚持念诵。
If we always chant Hare Krishna, and if we always offer our food to Krishna, and stay away from offenses, then we are safe.
你要是一直坚持去念诵，坚持的去 供奉食物给 Krishna 坚持的原因的话，那你就是安全的。
Even if it takes longer than for others.
啊啊，即便是要花很长的这个时间。嗯，下一个问题来自于 Sumukivada。啊 ，there's so many questions。请问帕布，一个奉献者如果幸运地获得了 Kripa Siddha 来自于奉献者和 Guru 的特殊的原子，瞬间把污染都净化掉了，之后会怎样呢？会不会出现这样的？会问出这样的层面，还是要根据自己的修习的精进程度而定呢？是否也会因为骄傲而瞬间失去这些原子，回到原来的状态呢？So the question is, if as you said, a devotee very fortunately gets Kripa Siddha or the special mercy from Krishna and Guru, and removed his contaminations or impurities in one moment, then what will happen after that?
Go back to Krishna.
Is it possible? Ah?
You go back to Krishna, what's the problem?
Yeah, when does that happen, this kind of Kripa Siddha?
No, it
depends on how advanced or strict
spiritual practice. You don't understand.
Or is it possible that someone can become proud and lose those mercy in 1 second and go back to his original state?
These are completely 100% material calculations.
就是刚才所说的这种状况呢，就是完全是从物质的这个角度去衡量的了，就是我们的世俗的那种经验和这种思维方式使我们有这样的一种想法。
Like asking when is it going to rain?
就好像你询问说什么时候能下雨呀、啊、
？Nobody knows when it's going to rain.
谁都不知道什么时候会下雨。
Nobody knows how much it's going to rain.
谁也不知道这个雨究竟会下多大。
Nobody knows where it's going to rain.
谁也不知道这个雨会究竟会下在什么地方。
If it's going to be a light rain or if it's going to be a storm.
究竟是小雨呢，还是暴风雨呢？这些我们没法知道。
This is beyond our control.
因为这些是完全就是超越于我们的控制范围之外。
You just happen to be at the right place at the right time.
你就是在一个合适的一个时候，在一个合适的这个时机，就正好在那个地方了，就得到了这个雨水。
Mercy is a product of bhakti. You cannot control mercy. You cannot control bhakti.
也就是说，你可能就是幸运的，就是。无缘的了，就是不知怎么的就得到了这个人子，因为 bhakti 是独立的， bhakti 它不以任何其他的事物为前提。
Now, if we put things into proper perspective,
但是呢，如果说你能够就是put things in the proper perspective, can you explain more?
In the proper perspective, in the way of looking at things. The right way of looking at things.
那如果说呢，就是说你去好好的去看一看的话
，out of unlimited numbers of living entities.
就是说在所有的这种不计其数的生物体之中
，there are a very restricted number of human beings.
就是人的这个数量是非常的有限的。
Out of limited number of human beings, there are people who human beings who behave like animals.
在有限的这个人类之中呢，有一些人他们的举止行为就和动物没有什么两样。
And then there are others who follow rules and regulations just to qualify as human beings.
还有一些人呢，他们就是说行为举止还是比较端正的。但是最多也就是达到一个做人的一个起码的标准。
Out of those, there is a very small number who are interested in spiritual life.
那这些在这些人当中，可能有少数部分的人对于灵性的话题有兴趣。
Out of those, there is a very tiny number of human beings who are engaged in spiritual life with the right motive.
那么在这些人当中又有更少的一小部分人，他们是抱着一种正确的一种心态和目的去从事灵修的活动。
And out of those, there is a tiny fraction who actually engage in Krishna consciousness.
然后在这些人当中呢，可能只有一些零头，一些这样这么少的这些人，可能在从事这个奉献服务了。
That's what you call Krishna's mercy.
这个就叫做 Krishna 的仁慈了。
That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that mercy.
这就是为什么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 会降临人世去派发这个仁慈。
But once we get that mercy, we have to show our gratitude and appreciation by making an effort to make spiritual progress.
那当我们得到了这些仁慈的时候呢，我们就要用实际的这个行动，实际的努力，来表达我们的这种真诚。
You read the story of Dhruva Maharaj, you read the story of Prahlad Maharaj, you read the story of Bali Maharaj, you read the story of Prithu Maharaj.
你可以读一读啊，那个 Dhruva Maharaj, 然后 Prahlad Maharaj, 然后 Prithu Maharaj, Parishi Maharaj, 这些你都可以去读一读他们的这个故事，就会知道。
You will see how they got the mercy.
啊，你可以看到他们都是如何得到这个仁慈的。So you have to cherish those mercy.
You have to understand when you think that you're going to get.Perfection through mercy, we narrow it down to how many people actually get an opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness. Very, very few people.
我们来看看得到这个 Krishna 的这个仁慈，实际上就是极少数的人，他有这样的机会可以得到仁慈的。
Okay.
一颗雷雨说：“感谢老师，感谢翻译，请问心意的捷径如何做到呢？” How to purify one's mind? How to attain the purification of one's mind?
Chant.
念诵吧。
Just chant, chant, chant,
chant. 你就认真的去念诵，念诵，念诵。
Chant and call out to Krishna. Your mind will be purified.
你要去向 Krishna 呼唤，祈祷，这样你的心意就会得到净化的。
对。
Free and easy. 随着孩子长大，需要先布施。困难似乎越来越多，只要孩子的体重不增加，身高不长，他们就会说是不给孩子鱼肉蛋的原因。我该怎么样才能让他们接受，或者我该怎么接受他们？Said as the child grows, if I don't give him additional food.Then it seems that there are more and more difficulties. If the boy doesn't increase the weight, and doesn't grow, then they would say that's because I didn't put fish, eggs, and meat. How can I make them accept? And how can I accept them?
You are a mother, you have a child, you are independent, you do what you want, you don't have to listen to your family.End of the story.
你是一个母亲，你是一个孩子，你是孩子的母亲，所以不需要去听别人怎么样说，你可以完全的自己决定。Free and easy, 感恩帕普。那现在是不是我就可以祈祷早日能够找到自己的灵性导师，就可以找到更适合自己的程序？这是不是也就是经典里说的灵性导师会比你最适合你的程序呢？Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Does that mean that I should pray that I can find my spiritual master at an early day, as soon as possible, so that I can find the procedure that suits me well? Does that mean that it's like according to the scriptures that the spiritual master will give you the procedure, that process that suits you the best?
No, you should pray that you can become steady and attached to the process. Then the guru will come.
你应当去祈祷。首先，你要对这个程序，要就是我们的这个程序，要非常的就是依附，非常的认真的去实践，这样你的guru就会出现在你的生活里。
Okay. All right. Let's finish here.
好，我们今天就讲到这里结束了。
Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常的感谢 Sumukhi Mataji 的主持。
Thank you very much, Krishna Premi Mataji.
非常感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees and welcome back to the Voice of Vrindavan.
Voice of Vaikuntha. 非常感谢大家哈。那个经过了我们这两周的这个停顿之后，又回到了我们的 Vaikuntha 之音，我们也可以把它称为是 Vrindavan 之音。
Please enjoy the month of Kartik.
好好的享受这个 Kartika 月。
Kartik means increase your level of Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting more.
Kartika 月呢，就是意味着要更多的去聆听，通过聆听和唱诵来增加你对 Krishna 的依附。
And every day offer lamp to Lord Damodar and Mother Yashoda.
每天呢，都向主Damodar 还有Yashoda Mama 供奉。
And read the prayers of Satyavrata Muni, glorifying Lord Krishna in the form of Damodar.
然后呢，要去读这个 Satyavrata Muni 所写的对于这个主的 Damodar 的这个形象的祷文和荣耀。好，我们今天的讲课就到这里结束了。Vaikuntha 之音服务员与聆听今天的永恒的其他点经序其他点乔伊萨米特的讲课就到这里结束，我们下周同一时间周三早上7点再见。 Hare Krishna。